remembering the OJ trial and verdict 20 years later. It's the Friday Mixer. Hard to believe it's been two decades since a jury acquitted Heisman Trophy-winning football player turned TV and movie star O.J. Simpson of murdering his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and a friend, Ron Goldman, at their Brentwood home. The trial riveted a nation with cable news and court shows going wall-to-wall, making Judge Lance Ito, Marcia Clark, Robert Kardashian, and Johnny Cochran household names. Linda Deutsch reported for the Associated Press in 1994. She's here this week to talk about her memories of those moments, particularly the verdict, which happened 20 years ago tomorrow. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You bet. As trials go, Linda, and you've covered many high-profile trials, Michael Jackson, Charles Manson, how does this one stack up?
Well, this was the trial to end all trials, really. Many people called it the trial of the century. Part of that was because of O.J. Simpson. He was the most famous American ever charged with murder, and nobody could believe that he would be in the middle of something like this, least of all O.J. himself. It was part circus, part television show. A lot of people rearranged their whole lives around this trial. It's hard to imagine now, if you weren't there, what a national obsession this was. People rearranged their work schedules so that they could be home during the day watching and would work at night. President Clinton interrupted a meeting on the day of the verdict to watch it on television.
How did you keep your composure in your reporting, knowing that all this talk and all this chatter was happening outside the courtroom?
Well, I had covered a lot of trials before then. I mean, my history goes back to Manson and a lot of others in between. So for me, it was a big trial, but I approached it just as I had all of the others, which was to be unbiased, to tell what happened in the courtroom, to describe it as best I could, to take the public in there. I saw myself as the eyes and ears of the public, and it was, in that sense, it was doing what I have always done.
You interviewed O.J. Simpson after the trial. He thanked you for being fair as a reporter.
That's right. That's when he first contacted me, right after the trial.
What was that like?
It was incredible, because I was the first person he had talked to after his acquittal on the record.
What'd you talk about?
Well, take a look at my story, I guess. He did thank me for being fair to him. I asked him how he was feeling, you know, what he was going to do with his life now. Whatever he said, it was big news at that point, because he had not spoken. But I would talk to him again many, many times after that. Because the fact that he was able to trust me to be fair and to say only what he said led him to call me frequently.
Are you surprised that O.J.'s back in jail, convicted in Nevada of this armed robbery of sports memorabilia? I think this happened back in 07?
Yes, I am, mainly because I covered that trial.
The one in Las Vegas?
Yes. And he never would have wound up with a sentence like that in California or anywhere else. It was Nevada justice, and it also was payback.
You think it was payback?
Oh, absolutely, because there was a tape of a conversation between two police detectives who were going through evidence in Nevada, and they are heard on the tape saying, well, they didn't get him in L.A., so we'll get him here. And so they did, and that's not how the justice system is supposed to work.
Linda Deutsch reported for the Associated Press 20 years ago during the O.J. Simpson trial, and she's talking to us about it for this week's Friday Mixer. Linda, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Well, the jury's decision to not convict O.J. sent ripples across the country, of course, with some people believing that a great injustice had been done, while others saying O.J. was set up and deserved to have been set free. Two decades later, a play that explores the different reactions here in Los Angeles is set to open this weekend at a theater in Atwater Village. Keith Sarabia is directing that play called Watching O.J., and attorney Brian Dunn, who worked with the late Johnny Cochran, O.J.'s famous defense lawyer, both join us here in the studio. Thanks to you both for being here, by the way.
Thank you for inviting me.
We appreciate it. It indeed was a complex reaction, Keith, to the verdict, a racial reaction, wouldn't you say?
Very much. There is a very strong racial divide in terms of what the reactions were, at least in the play. And I remember, because I was living in L.A. back at the time. The play, of course, is set in a small white-owned dry cleaners in an Inglewood-like neighborhood. We call it an urban neighborhood, but it's Inglewood, just off the 405, on the day that the verdicts come out. And we have the whole spectrum of opinions on it, ranging from a policeman's wife to a radical revolutionary, you know, African-American version of what the conspiracy was against O.J.
And this doesn't take place in the courtroom. It doesn't take place anywhere near it.
No, O.J. is not in it. Johnny Cochran's not in it. Robert Shapiro's not in it. It's a worm's eye view of what happened in this small dry cleaners and its environs and the people who come through there every day in everyday life. It's sort of a quotidian version of it.
Brian, you worked with Johnny Cochran.
That's
back
correct.
In the day,
yeah,
right? The late Johnny Cochran. Do you remember, what was it like in the black community? What was it like in the white community?
Well, I was actually in the office the whole time this happened, so I was kind of at, ground zero. And there were a lot of things that were going on during those years that were different, unlike anything we'd ever seen before. It was a time in which law and the interaction of race relations and the courtroom and the legal matters had been more prominent than they had been in the past. We had the Rodney King situation that was only a few years before this. We had the three strikes law the year before, which almost was exclusively applied to give 25-year sentences to African-Americans, ranging from stealing pizza to really light crimes. So there was just a feeling that the law was just not treating us fairly. And then when O.J. happened, we originally didn't think we'd get the case. And then we got it. And everything changed.
How did it change?
Well, essentially what the office that I worked in turned from a law office into a studio. Our phone would not stop ringing. And I mean, when I say literally, it wouldn't stop ringing. It was literally 24 hours a day. It was just constantly, 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 constantly ringing.
Did you see the glove?
The actual glove?
The actual glove.
No, I didn't see the actual glove.
There's a whole speech in the play about the glove and why it didn't fit on top of it, because I won't go into it. Come and see the play.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
You must acquit.
You must acquit.
But there's the woman who's the heart of the play, Cordia, and watching O.J., she's an African-American woman. Her point of view sort of sums up what the point of view of the play is that the jury might not find O.J. guilty, but he sure as hell ain't innocent.
I can't believe I'm going to ask this question, but yeah. If O.J. had been married to a black woman
There's a whole funny and very intense monologue about that very same thing, about if O.J. had gone and killed his black wife, Monique, this would have ended up on the back pages.
Well, again, in terms of how that would have played out, I don't think you would have had the same dynamic, but I think that it still would have been a case that everyone was looking at. You want to act like it's not about race, and you want to act like it's colorblind. You want to act like all of this would be the same if all of the characters were the same, but you just can't deny.
But it's
you
it's
can't.
Not. We don't.
It's not.
We do
and you
not
can't deny that
in a post-racial society.
Absolutely.
I mean, Brian is African-American. I'm white. You know, and it's like I don't see any difference between us, but America does. We're different. Our experiences are different. No matter how well educated he is, we're going to have to deal with this. And it's going to take generations still for that not to matter.
Watching O.J. opens tomorrow at the Ensemble Studio Theater, L.A., in the Atwater Village Theater Complex. Director Keith Sarabia and attorney Brian Dunn. Thanks for your time to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.